Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Soldier Today Podcast is a product of the Non-Commissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Directorate at the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today's subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, the Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. Our newest topic of discussion today is the United States Army Women's Museum. During the month of March, we celebrate Women's History Month. Women's History Month is an annual celebration that highlights the contribution of women throughout our history. The important celebration of Women's History Month grew out of a week-long celebration of women's contributions to culture, history, and society organized by the school district of Sonoma, California in 1978. A few years later, the idea expanded to communities, school districts, and organizations throughout the country. And in 1980, President Jimmy Carter issued the first presidential proclamation declaring the week of March 8th as a National Women's History Week. The next year, Congress passed a resolution establishing the week as a national celebration. And 6 years later, in 1987, the National Women's History Project successfully petitioned Congress to expand the event to the entire month of March. Countless numbers of women have contributed greatly to American history, culture, and society. The celebration in March is about honoring those accomplishments, but perhaps more importantly, educating future generations about the significant role women have played throughout the history of America and the world. The Army has been honoring the significant role of women in service for some time longer. On 14 May 1955, at Fort McClellan, Alabama, the Army paid special tribute to women in service by opening its doors to the Women's Army Corps Museum, which was later moved to Fort Lee, Virginia, and renamed the United States Army Women's Museum. Till this day, the U.S. Army Women's Museum is the only museum in the world dedicated to Army women. The museum honors women's contributions to the Army from the Revolutionary War to present. So this is a great discussion to have, but even more appropriately, during the month, we celebrate the history of women in America. And we are honored to have with us today Tracy Bradford, the museum curator, Ron Bingham, the museum's collection specialist, and Amy Komeniak, Friends of the Army Women's Museum Association co-president. Ladies, Ron, thanks for joining us here on the Soldier Today podcast show. I, as well as our listeners, thank you for taking the time to share your story and the story of the United States Army Women's Museum. I'd like each of you to take a moment just to say hi and introduce yourselves. And we'll start with Tracy.
Thank you so much. My name is Tracy Bradford, and this is really an honor on behalf of the Women's Museum. I just want to thank you, Sergeant Major Daly, as well as AUSA for showcasing the museum and letting us share this history during this special month.
Well, thank you, Tracy. And again, thanks for taking the time to join us. I know during this month, you're probably very busy with the museum, but you took out the time to tell our story and give our listeners a little bit of information. And we look forward to asking you some questions and finding out more about our museum. And Ron, over to you.
Okay, I want to thank AUSA, too, for having us and talk about our beautiful museum here at Fort Lee. I spent 22 years in the Army as a retired sergeant first class, and I was very fortunate my last year at Fourth ID, I was asked to volunteer to be the NCOIC at the Fourth ID Museum, and that led to GS job opening up, and my boss at the museum called my boss at Fourth ID and said, would you hire this young man? And she said, I'd hire him in a minute, and she did, and I've been here for 17 years, getting ready to retire from the federal service in June.
That's outstanding, and thank you for your service, Ron. And thank you for your service to the 4th Infantry Division. You made my A-list now because, as you know, I spend much time in the 4th Infantry Division and culminated my tenure in the 4th ID as the Division Sergeant Major. So steadfast and loyal to you, Ron, and thank you for your service both here and as a civil servant. And finally, Colonel retired Amy Komeniak. Ma'am?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us, and I'm thrilled to be here to talk about the Friends of the Army Women's Museum Association and how we support the Army Women's Museum. So thanks to AUSA for having us and looking forward to participating.
Thank you, ma'am. And thank you for your service as well. We appreciate all of you coming on to the show to share the important story of the United States Army Women's Museum. So to get us started, we have a tradition on Soldiers Today. It's about knowing your people. And it's in support of the Chief of Staff and the Sergeant of the Army's People First Initiative. So can each of you share with our listeners a little bit about yourselves? Where did you grow up and how did you become part of this incredible mission? And Tracy, let's start with you, please.
Well, I am a proud Virginia native. My dad worked for the National Security Agency, so I spent many of my young years overseas, but we always came home to our home base of Arlington. And then I began my career as a teacher, which was a wonderful portable profession because I was also an Army spouse. So now I've been with the Center of Military History and the Army Museum Enterprise for just about 14 years. I began as a museum educator right here at the Army Women's Museum, and then I went to work in the Programs and Education Division of the National Museum of the United States Army, which, you know, we just opened, and it was a real honor to get that amazing facility opened. And now I've returned here as a curator, and I could not be happier and more honored to do the work that I get to do here.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for the service of your family and your long dedicated service to preserving the history of our Army. Ron, how about you?
I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and went to Arizona State University, studying a major in history. I had a love of history my whole life. And then I joined the Army, and I was the 84 Charlie Mopic photographer. I was the last 84 Charlie Mopic to be promoted to sergeant back in the mid-80s. And I claimed the same there. I spent 22 years in the Army as an audiovisual specialist, and then retired out of the 4th ID and jumped right into the federal service as a museum collection specialist here at the Army Women's Museum. Very, very proud to tell the story with Army women. My late wife was an Army soldier. She retired as a master sergeant. She was a public affairs DO. Part of her story is actually told in the museum, I'm happy to say. And both my kids are military Air Force people. I don't know why they joined the Air Force, but they did. And I'm very proud of them, too.
Thank you for your service, and thanks for joining us today. And Amy, over to you.
Thanks, Dan. I grew up as an Army brat, mostly in Newport News, Virginia, and that's where my father was an Army aviator in the Transportation Corps, Fort Eustis. I had the opportunity to attend and graduate from West Point in 1987, and I was commissioned in the Quartermaster Corps. So fist bump to Sergeant Major Welch. Fast forward through 30 years of very cool assignments worldwide to include deployments to combat and command through the brigade level. And I retired in 2017. And I got to take a second here to say that, as you know, the big Army is a small world. I had the honor to serve with both you and Sergeant Major Welch. I was in the 19th Theater Sustainment Command when Sergeant Major Welch was the U.S. Forces Korea Sergeant Major, and I was the commander of the 23rd Quartermaster Brigade when you were the TRADOC Sergeant Major, Dan. And while in Brigade Command, yeah, can you believe it? While I was in a Brigade Command at Fort Lee, I had many opportunities to work with the Army Women's Museum, to include working with Tracy and Ron. Yes, they were there then, and my dear friend Sydney Gentry, who worked as an educator there. And following my retirement, Sydney invited me to join the Friends of the Army Women's Museum Association, FAMA, the nonprofit which supports the museum. And I've been volunteering to support this truly one-of-a-kind museum ever since.
Well, thank you, ma'am. And thank you for your service and your continued service to support our soldiers, and especially the women that have served our Army for so long. And, you know, I first came in contact with the Army Women's Museum when I was the TRADOC Sergeant Major, and I went over there for the very first time and saw it. And when you go there, for our listeners out there for the very first time, you really become connected with how special a tribute is to the service that our women have provided our Army since the very beginning. And you learn so much about their contributions. And I know we're going to talk a lot about it today. I don't want to get too much into that and spoil what our guests are going to tell us, but I just encourage you all that if you haven't seen it, if you haven't visited, check out their website. You'll hear about that during our discussion today. And when we get back out of the COVID problem that we all have been dealing with for so long, take the time, go visit this special museum, the one of a kind, the only one in the world at Fort Lee. So Tracy, let's jump right in. Could you tell us a little bit about your mission and why the United States Army Women's Museum is so important?
Absolutely. So our purpose here is to share the story of the contributions of women to the United States Army. And Dan, as you just mentioned, we like to note that men and women have been standing shoulder to shoulder since the inception of the Army. So whether in or out of uniform, women from all generations have served proudly in the defense of this nation. And so we do this by collecting and preserving, displaying and teaching this history with our exhibits and our programs. We're always looking to demonstrate the resilience and the courage of American Army women. So in today's fighting force, women can serve in every function, branch, military specialty of the Army. And this is a reality that was inconceivable to their predecessors. So a major objective of ours here at the Army Women's Museum is to explain how and why women's roles have changed over time, because there's so many important lessons to be learned in this history.
There absolutely is. And I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't been there for the very first time. But again, I can't tell you how much you can learn in one visit to that museum. Of course, multiple visits would be even better for any individual wanting to know more about women's service to the United States Army. But Tracy and Ron, the museum was started in 1955 and born out of the Army Women's Corps, which I'm proud to say my mother-in-law was a member of. And I have fond memories of her showing me her pictures when she was in the Army Women's Corps. But it has evolved over the years since the days of the WAC. And women have been serving our Army since its beginning. How do you capture 245 years of women's history under one roof?
It's a challenge to tackle such a wide breadth of history under one roof. But luckily, we have been really supported by the Fort Lee installation, by TRADOC, CMH, and of course, our friends of the Army Women's Museum Association. And so we recently built an expansion and we were able to totally redesign the galleries. So Dan, I don't know when your visit was. I don't know if you've seen the new and improved Army Women's Museum. In 2018, we had a grand reopening of the facility, and that allowed us to rewrite the storyline to balance out the history. And so we created 5 distinct galleries that cover our 10,000 square feet of exhibit space. And so the galleries follow a chronological timeline, but in each section, we pay special attention to the challenges and changes that occurred in that specific era. So you'll follow along chronologically, but you'll see the same themes reoccurring as you go. And I would love to invite your listeners to go to our website, where we do have a virtual tour available so they can get a look at the exhibits themselves until we reopen. Every gallery has some kind of interpretive or interactive exhibit. So there's something for visitors of all ages. So for example, in our Origins of War gallery, we have a fun Revolutionary War cart with reproductions of artifacts that visitors can handle. And then later on in our Be a You Can Be gallery, we have a fun interactive that was based on those old friend or foe signs. Do you remember those from installation?
Yeah.
You could decide if the plane or the tank was a friend or foe. So we've got really interesting things that will remind people of how the Army has changed and will give them an opportunity to engage with the content on a personal level.
Tracy, I have not been there since 2018. Since prepping for this, I'm excited to get back down then, I promise. And we'll talk about this a little later. We have had a little upset because of COVID and we've been closed for a little while, but let's not detract our listeners from checking it out though on the website, like you mentioned. So check out. And we're going to give you some plugs on how to do that and exactly where to do that later. But Ron, I want to go back over to you now. I mean, as the museum's collection specialist, how do you capture 245 years? There's got to be a ton of important things. How do you decide what gets displayed?
Well, that's actually a great question. Ms. Madison, 2 directors ago, you said when the museum moved from Fort McClellan to Fort Lee, it was too small. It didn't tell the whole story. The WAC Museum told the story of the WAC. And it did not really tell any story from 1978 and beyond. And it also didn't tell much of the Army nurse story. Let's just say the women who served as Army nurses didn't tell the story. We almost started working on a new edition from that time period. It did not end until we had a grand opening in 2017. So it's hard to tell it. The hardest part now is women in the Army roles are changing every single day. You open the paper, and just a couple of days ago, they announced that a woman graduated from the Special Forces School. So every day, things are changing. And that's one of our goals now, is trying to capture not just the past, but the future. The young lady who graduated the Special Forces School a couple of days ago is history, but we need to collect her story. We have nothing in the museum about that story. That's actually more of our challenge than collecting the past.
So that leads me to the next question for you. It's over the years, the museum has worked hard to put together these collections of items. And like you said, it's difficult to tell the story. And as you said, it most importantly probably is the story's changing all the time, right? So of course, you can't showcase it all. Could you share with our listeners, how do you specifically select the items displayed in the museum? And perhaps maybe even hint about some of your favorite items that are displayed.
How we display it is actually based on a guideline. We have a storyline that actually has to be reviewed and approved by the Center of Military History in D.C. And from that storyline, we pick the artifacts. As Tracy said, our gallery kind of goes in a timeline. So World War I, of course, we want World War I uniforms. We only have a few World War I uniforms in complete edition to show from. To be honest, there's also some special stories that are special to our hearts. Women in the EOD, for some reason, I'm just interested in that. So in our modern gallery, we have a diorama about a young lady who's now a first sergeant in Germany, who is an EOD specialist, and her partner deactivated by an IED in Iraq. So between the storyline, our personal story, the personal interest, and then trying to tell the whole story with a broad paintbrush, that's how we pick it.
So Ron, are you constantly getting new material too? Or is there stuff coming in the door that you catalog and go through and preserve? And where do you preserve it if it's not on display?
We definitely have 7,000 items in our collection right now. And there's probably about 250 to 300 items on display right now. The Center of Military History also is in charge of preserving it. To get new items in the museum now, it's a process that has to be approved by the Center of Military History. A lot of paperwork and photographs, and you have to get a lot of provenance behind it to be approved. It's not as easy as just dropping off at a museum in World War II jacket. That process is not that like that anymore. It's quite a lot of paperwork. The Army right now is in the process of wanting to collect items that have provenance behind them. So unfortunately, we just can't take anything in now. We are really looking for the modern stuff.
And Ron, I'm glad you covered that, because I know that's what our listeners are thinking, that there's items out there that, like me, you know, were fond memories of my mother-in-law while she was in the WAC, or if they had something of the day. And I'll tell you my personal story real quick is, you know, I brought back the Army Service Green uniform, the commemorative uniform of World War II. And the very first one the Army made was mine, the prototype. And I felt it was greater than me when I left the Army, and I donated it to the U.S. Army Museum. What I found from the Center for Military History was it was the first prototype uniform they've ever had. Now, my wife is still very upset with me for giving my uniform away, but it will be able to be viewed by many people and enjoyed. So if you have items out there that you think are interesting, first call, like Ron said, call and see if that's something that the museum or the Center for Military History might want. So Tracy, back over to you. The museum does a wonderful job showcasing the story of the Women's Museum. And that's from my perspective when I was there prior to 2018. I'm sure it's much better. But there are more than just the items and displays. I've read that there are quite a collection of written material available. How does one access this? And how does the museum play a role in influencing and informing the current military leaders?
Well, we have an archival collection here at the museum of over 1.5 million documents and photographs pertaining to Army women's history. And so these archives vary in nature. So some of them might look a lot like your mother-in-law's collection, their personal collections that contain pictures, letters, memorabilia. But then some of the collection is also military training manuals or yearbooks or official Signal Corps photographs. So it really runs the gamut of what kind of materials we have available in the archives. The collection is available to the public. So right now, the way we're taking research requests is through the website. And we do a lot of support for other military museums or researchers or historians, filmmakers. But we're also more than happy to take a personal request. And if we have time, one of our wonderful volunteers from our friends organization comes in once a week and does research for individuals looking for information about their family members. It's a really great resource. We believe we are the largest repository anywhere of Army women documents and archives. We have also provided research guidance for the Army concerning issues. And one of those was the project that you worked on so closely, Dan, which was the Army Green Service Uniform. So I know that representatives from the Army came here, and I know Ron was part of that project to give information and guidance towards the development of the new uniform. But something really interesting happened the other day, and I just wanted to tell you this story. We had a visit from the Quartermaster Commandant, Colonel Michelle Donahue, and she was accompanied by her aide-de-camp, Lieutenant Tyler McKinney. So Lieutenant McKinney asked me about getting promoted at the Army Women's Museum in May. And then she told me that her great-grandpa, Dean, who was 97, was going to be coming to the ceremony. So Dean didn't serve in World War II, but his sister, Marion, was in the Army Nurse Corps. And he was extremely proud of his sister. He talked about her all the time. And so when his great-granddaughter went to West Point and then became an officer, Dean was just as proud of his great-granddaughter as he was of his sister. So for the promotion, Lieutenant McKinney ordered her new green uniform. She really wanted her great-grandpa to see her in the uniform that would remind him of his sister and that time that was so important. Unfortunately, Dean McKinney, he just passed away a few weeks ago, but I thought you might like to know of that lasting legacy of that uniform, what it means to the young soldiers in the Army today. It resonates with them. It has a lasting impact. So,
well, it's really great to hear that, Tracy, and share that wonderful story. And we'll all keep the passing of him in our thoughts and prayers. You know, the tent of the Army Service Green Uniform, the commemorative uniform, because it's not exactly the same. And I have to tell people all the time, there were so many different versions during World War II. It was really hard to actually pick a period in history to replicate it. And as you mentioned, in the first time ever, we put together an entire board of Army women, all ranks, all ethnicities, all ages, and they designed, I put them in a room and allowed them to design their own uniform within the guidelines, so because it had to look appropriately matching to the male service uniform. And just to satisfy listeners' curiosity, there was a long discussion about just having one uniform, a unisex uniform. And it was very clear from our women service members that no, they wanted a distinct uniform that was designed specifically for women. And I'll tell you what, they did a class act job. It is phenomenal. And it is very, very complimentary to the World War II era. So thanks for bringing it up, ma'am. And I appreciate your comments on the Army Service Green uniform, because I know our soldiers and hopefully the American public appreciate why we did it. And it was to bring the spirit of America back to America. And that was a time in our history when we all had to come together for one common good. And that was defense of our nation during World War II. So Tracy, let's stay on the topic of the history of this. As a student of history myself, the true value of any museum is to share the story with future generations, like the one you just shared about the generational bridge between World War II and today and that young lieutenant getting promoted there. Does the museum offer opportunities for educational program for like schools?
Absolutely. So we play an important role as an educational institution, and we do provide military history training and instruction to soldiers and veterans. And then we have programs for our civilian community as well. I'll tell you about the soldier training programs first. So here at Fort Lee, we work with the Quartermaster Ordnance and Transportation Schools, and we get soldiers in all different levels of education here at the installation. And we also deliver an array of professional development opportunities for military, civilian, and corporate organizations. We provide a lot of different types of training. So with the expanded virtual capabilities across the Army since COVID, we're really excited because we believe that we'll have an expanded capability to offer these programs to populations around the globe, which will allow us to increase our reach and impact. We have a special assignment right now. Currently, we're working on a training support package that's going to examine the monumental changes to Army Women's Service since the terrorist attacks on 9/11. That'll be something that will hopefully be a resource to, once again, units across the Army.
And Tracy, you've mentioned this a few times throughout the podcast, your website. Could you just give our listeners, where exactly can they find that?
Yes, they can go to www.awm.lee.army.mil.
Well, thank you, Tracy. We've done several podcasts this year, and each of our guests have talked about how our current pandemic has altered our way of life. And all of our listeners out there have been affected by the COVID-19. But how has COVID-19 had a profound impact on your mission? Tracy, how has the museum fared in the midst of the pandemic this past year?
Well, we're currently closed to the public. We have been since last March, which is really hard because we miss our visitors. We did recently, as I mentioned, resume some soldier training and professional development programs. Luckily, though, prior to the pandemic, we had an asset in place, which was our live broadcast studio, which we had built in 2014 as a means of providing educational programming outside the walls of the museum. So way back in 2014, the first virtual program that we delivered was to a girls' school in Australia. So this was primarily the tool that we were using to reach K-12 populations. But with the pandemic, much to our surprise, came a wave of virtual education advancements. K-12 schools, retirement communities, nonprofit organizations, they all got really smart really quickly about digital learning and embracing new platforms. And so we realized that our 2014 technology that was quite sufficient before the pandemic was seriously in need of an upgrade. And so, as usual, En-ROAD, our friends of the Army Women's Museum Association, on their white horse and saved the day. So they wrote and received a generous grant from a charitable organization, which is going to allow us to overhaul our live broadcast studio so that we can better support students and teachers and community organizations during the pandemic. So we're able to reach them now, but with this upgrade, it's going to really improve our capability for supporting our local and other communities far away.
Tracy, you mentioned Friends of the Army Museum. Amy, you are the co-president of a very unique organization, the Friends of the Army Women's Museum Association. Please share with our listeners about your organization. What is their mission? And actually, how do you support the museum?
FAMA's mission is to provide direct support to the Army Women's Museum, simply. And that support includes financial assistance, and that would be from our wonderful donors and through grants, as well as volunteer support at the museum. So, and you've heard Tracy allude to it, we assist with archiving, research questions, visitor services. We have members who are local to Fort Lee and others across the country to include Washington and Texas. And we are very proud of the fact that our diverse 10-member board and our committee members are all volunteers and are very passionate about supporting our wonderful museum. Some examples of how we've supported the museum: FAMA funded the virtual tour, and I believe that we are one of very few museums in the Army Museum Enterprise to actually have a virtual tour, which we've used extensively during COVID. Also, we funded the Life Studio that Tracy talked about. Most recently, FAMA applied for and received a grant from the Cameron Foundation, and that's going to allow us to actually upgrade that Life Studio and fund a part-time educator to increase our capabilities for outreach and to deliver even more programming, because it is definitely in demand. And I know this sounds cliche, Dan, but our mantra is teamwork makes the dream work. And together, FOM and the Army Women's Museum work as a team. And that's our special sauce.
It doesn't sound cliche to me, Amy. Actually, I love it. I'm going to use that and steal from you if you don't mind. Now, Amy, let's get down to the details of this. So I know intimately, as being the TRADOC's armator, that museums are not a cheap enterprise. They take a lot of resources, a lot of time, a lot of effort from people. And the Association of United States Army is actually the largest donator to the Army Museum. So I know exactly how much money it takes to build these things. So I'm sure you guys are always looking for help, and it's welcome. If someone wanted to help support the Friends of the Army Women's Museum, how can they get involved?
Three things, Dan. If you or anyone in your audience is interested in supporting our efforts, number one, please visit us at armywomensmuseum.org. Number two, follow us on your social media channel of choice. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and those addresses are at armywomensmuseum.org. And finally, we're always looking for motivated volunteers to join Team FAMA to support our wonderful Army Women's Museum.
And I just got to make clear to our listeners, you don't have to be a woman, right? Anybody can volunteer.
Certainly. We take all motivated volunteers. So if you fall into that category, come and join us. Join our team.
Well, hopefully some of our listeners out there can either get involved or share their story with their friends if they want to get involved. Well, ladies and Ron, it was a pleasure to have you with us today, and we hope you'll come back and join us again. I'd like to do a follow-up after the museum opens again to see how we're doing. But before I go, I'd like to give you the last word. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to provide our listeners? And Tracy, we'll start back with you.
Once again, I just want to say thank you so much to AUSA for giving us this opportunity to highlight the museum. I would like to do a shout out to my colleagues. So if you can't come here, if you're not near us, of course, we've got our virtual tour. But once the museum's open again, please look for a museum, an Army museum in your area. We've got a wonderful Army Museum Enterprise, and so much history is out there ready to be seen. So once again, just thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Tracy. And again, keep your eyes out for when the museum's going to open. Again, just go to www.awm.lee.army.mil or simply Google Army Women's Museum, because they're the only one in the world. Amy, over to you for closing comments.
Thanks, Dan. Again, thank you so much to AUSA for having us on this podcast. And come join the FAMA team and the Army Women's Museum team. And again, our website is armywomensmuseum.org.
Thank you, Amy. And Ron, your closing comments.
I just want to thank everybody for having us on the podcast today to tell a very important story. I want to thank past directors, Ms. Madison, Dr. Bonnell, and Tracy, who's been a dear friend for 10 plus years. And the last thought is, remember that the Army Women's Museum does not just tell women's history. We'd like to say that we tell Army history. Thank you very much.
Well, Ron, I just want to take one more opportunity to not only thank you for your incredible service to our Army in uniform, but your outstanding and unprecedented service for 17 years to the museum. So thank you from all of us for all that you have done for our country and to honor and preserve the history of women's service in the Army. Thank you. Our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank Tracy Bradford, Ron Bingham, and Amy Komeniak for joining us today and for sharing their story and that of the United States Army Women's Museum. To find out more about the museum, please visit them online at https://awm.lee.army.mil, or again, simply Google Army Women's Museum. As Army alums, I can say from all of us across the country, thank you and the entire team for what you have done and all that you continue to do to preserve the memory of women's service in our Army.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.